Hey guys, welcome to discussion today. I hope you all are having a great Friday. We're going to be discussing intelligent infinity, more specifically, like the whole concept of contact with intelligent infinity. Trying to wrap my own brain around this, and hopes it would help you all as well. So let's get started. And this first question that comes up is in regards to the 21st archetype. So then I would guess that the 21st archetype would represent contact with intelligent infinity. Is that correct? So the 21st archetype would be the world. And this is correct, although one may also see the reflection of this contact as well as the contact with intelligent energy, which is the universe. Or you have called it somewhat provincially the world. So really what they meant, through this 21st archetype was really the universe. That would be contact with intelligent energy. And as far as I can tell, I mean, Ra does explain intelligent energy and intelligent infinity in a slightly different manner. I think infinity is the idea, the consciousness behind, and the energy is just the thing that forms movement and the things that builds and destroys and creates. Let's move on. A couple of these I'm going to expand upon. Hopefully we'll be able to get through all this today because there are a few things at the lower levels of this page that I would really like to get to. This is out of session 80.22. Then by this contact also with intelligent energy, can you give me an example of what this would be for bulls for the contact with intelligent infinity and intelligent energy? Could you give me an example of what type of experiences would result in if that's all possible? So the answer, this shall be the last query. We have discussed the possibilities of contact with intelligent energy. For this energy is the energy of the Logos. And thus, it is the energy which heals, builds, removes, destroys, and transforms all other selves as well as the selves. The contact with intelligent infinity is most likely to produce an unspeakable joy in the entity experiencing such contact. If you wish to query more detail, we invite you to do so in another working. Okay, I'm sure there's much more to it than just that, but they give us kind of a plain answer. So I think the energy is more the force behind things. The intelligent infinity is just the place of being. Okay, and this here, they're talking about the Crusaders. And I do believe it's in regards to the Orion. The Orion group. Okay, so let's go over this in a little bit more detail. Expanding upon how these so-called crusaders from the Orion group and how they become so service to self. And we do, and there is some other things in this working that is a little provocative, which I have yet to decide if I want to go over, but we do need to understand how they are working and what their ultimate goal is. This is 11.18. Then we have crusaders from Orion coming to this planet for mind control purposes. How do they do that? They follow the law of one, observing free will. Contact is made with those who call. Those sent upon planetary sphere act as much as you do to disseminate the attitudes and philosophy of their particular understanding of the law of one, which is service to self. These become the elite. Through these, the attempt begins to create a condition whereby the remainder of the planetary elites are enslaved by their own free will. Can you name any of the recipients of the Crusaders? Any names that may be known on the planet today? I am desirous of being in non-violation of the free will distortion, which means that if you're alive today, it's kind of a violation of free will to tell you. But they do give us, I mean, control over others is what I'm seeing in the Law of One, being a marker for this service to self. To name those involved in the future of your space-time is to infringe. Thus, we withhold the information. We request your contemplation of the fruits of the actions of those entities whom you may observe enjoying the distortion towards power. In this way, you may discern for yourself. We shall not interfere with the planetary game. It is not central to the harvest. So, how do these crusaders pass on their concepts to incarnate, to the incarnate individuals on Earth? There are two main ways. Okay. There are two main ways of polarizing towards service to others. These are the mind, body, spirit complexes upon your plane who do exercises to perform disciplines in order to seek contact with sources of information and power, leading to the opening of the gate of intelligent infinity. There are others whose vibratory complex is such that this gateway is opened and contact with total service to self, with its primal distortion of manipulation of others, is then afforded with little or no difficulty, no training, and no control. What type of information is passed on from these crusaders? The Orion group passes on the information concerning the Law of One with the orientation of service to self. The information can become technical, just as some in the Confederation, in attempts to aid this planet in service to others, have provided what you call technical information. The technology provided by this group is in the form of various means of control or manipulation of others to serve the self. Okay. And it kind of goes a little bit into, if you want to finish out this session, this is session 11, they do go into a little bit of how we learned, your nuclear energy and things. I do believe it was meant for a positive thing. Of course, humans being humans. Okie doke. So let's move on, though, because there are so much more good stuff involving intelligent infinity here. Okay. So this is at a 92, going back to the archetypes a little bit. Finally, as each energy center becomes activated and balanced, the transformation of the mind is called upon more and more frequently. When all of the energy centers are activated and balanced to a minimal degree, contact with intelligent infinity occurs. The veil is removed, and the great way of the mind is called upon. Is this correct? Not correct. Okay, no. This is quite an elegant look at some of the relationships within the archetypical mind. By the way, I do believe transformation of mind is the lever. So that's your relationship with yourself, really, and kind of balancing the light and the dark. It's very odd experiencing this because it's like you're seeing your light and dark at the same time as you're seeing the other person's light and dark, and it can be very mixed, and you have to decide what's yours and what's not yours, and then it's like you're all one, so what does it matter? And then it's a very odd thing to stay in. Okay, but anyway, let's go back to their answer. However, it must be seen once again that the archetypical mind is not equal the acting incarnation of mind, body, spirit complexes progression or evolution. So the archetypical mind does not equal the acting living person's progression or evolution. Due to the first misperception, we hesitate to speak on the second consideration, but we shall attempt to clarify. While studying the archetypical mind, we may suggest that the student look at the great way of the mind, not as that which is attained after contact with intelligent infinity, but rather as the portion of the archetypical mind that denotes and configures the framework within the mind, body, or spirit archetypes move, which, I'm sorry, the particular framework within which the mind, body, or the spirit move. Okay. That's how important the great way is, and very hard to attain as well. So, really hard to understand. Because that is after your catalyst, that is after your transformation, that is after all of that. When the transformation is when you move into that particular area, from which you've already catalyzed, you've already had this catalyst experience, and then you transform because of the catalyst, how you've handled this catalyst, right? And then you learn how to, in a sense, we'll take the alchemist, for example, it's a great way of the body. So that is taking everything you learn from this catalyst and the transformation and putting it into actual use in your physical world. So this is kind of, I mean, it's kind of off subject, but I do want to at least talk about it a little bit because talking about being transported in craft and how it relates to intelligent infinity. And then one known as Daniel in thought form, transported by the Confederation thought form vehicular illusion in order to give this mind body spirit complex data so that we might see how this type of contact aided your people in the uncovering of the intelligent infinity beyond the illusion of limits. Okay, so I just want to point out that it's saying intelligent infinity is beyond the illusion of limits. When you realize that you're not as limited as what society has told you, you might see some things opening up for you. Stop putting yourself in a box. I think that's number one. Okay. This is some differences in regarding service to self versus service to others and how they might radiate. So the negative pattern, this is 39.12. The negative pattern is the red, orange, yellow moving directly to the blue. This being only used in order to contact intelligent infinity. So they move directly to the blue. And honestly, I don't have any idea why this is in parentheses here. And maybe they're questioning whether they meant indigo, but I think it was blue. I mean, they skip right over the green, which is heart. That's your center of compassion and empathy. And we know that a lot of folks that are self-serving do just lack the empathy, lack the compassion to see the experience of the other person. In positively oriented entities, the configuration is even, crystallinely clear, and of the seven ray description. So they're going to be expressing, all the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, violet being the sum of who you are, basically. Okay. So this is important as well. This is 58.23. Is there any advantage in attempting to develop characteristics or being able to bend metal? What I am trying to say are those characteristics a signpost of the development of an entity, or are they something else? As an entity develops through this, his indigo would be a signpost of his development of the bending. Okay. So let us specify the three spirals of light in the pyramid. First, the fundamental spiral, which is used for the study and for healing. Second, the spiral to the apex, which is used for the building. So the apex is pointing at the top. Thirdly, the spiral spreading from the apex, which is used for energizing. So this is the three spirals you can use while inside the pyramid or visioning a pyramid. Contact with Indigo Ray need not necessarily show itself in any certain gift or guidepost, as you have said. There are some whose indigo energy is that of pure being and is never manifested. So it doesn't matter. They will let me move on. Yet all are aware of such an entity's progress. Others may teach or share in many ways contact with intelligent energy. Others continue in unmanifested form, seeking intelligent infinity. I think if you're What I was going to say is, I don't think it matters whether or not you can bend metal or levitate or whatever it is. Sure, that's manifesting intelligent energy, but I think seeking is really the goal, or at least for me. So, I mean, take that as you wish. I think seeking is more powerful. Seeking intelligent infinity, seeking the creator, You can, but as it says, all are aware of such an entity's progress. That is more important than being able to do any of the physical things. So, in my own opinion, I feel like being able to do these types of things, bend metal and so on and so forth, may be an effect of one's progress, maybe. But here they say, sometimes there is no guidepost. Sometimes they just keep on seeking. So, and that's fine too. The manifestation is a lesser signpost than that which is sensed or intuited about in mind-body-spirit complex. The violet ray beingness is far more indicative of true self. There you go. Okay. So this is, actually, I was really contemplating doing a whole session on the 20th archetype, which they're really, this is the only session that they speak about it, which is judgment. Okay. But so I'm glad it came up in the area of intelligent infinity. So yeah, 20th archetype. That which you call the sarcophagus in your system may be seen as a material world. The material world is transformed by the spirit into that which is infinite and eternal. The infinity of the spirit is an even greater realization than the infinity of consciousness. These are complex. They are three things, your mind, body, and spirit. They are I don't want to use the term separate, but they're different ideas, but yet they all function together. That's why they call it a mind-body-spirit complex, I guess. But they are saying the infinity of the spirit is an even greater realization than the infinity of consciousness. For consciousness, which has been disciplined by the will and faith, is that consciousness which may contact intelligent infinity directly. There are many things which fall away in the many, many steps of adepthood. We of Ra still walk these steps and praise the one infinite creator at each transformation. So I want to actually, what I do want to do, let's bring up the picture. If I could find it in a relatively short amount of time. So I want to get you guys an idea of what I'm talking about. So this is transformation of the spirit. This is judgment. So, I mean, you can see a transformation happening right now. And the way that we do that is by disciplining Discipline of the mind, discipline of the spirit, you know, discipline of the personality. So yeah, in each discipline, you choosing to acknowledge your wrongs and your rights, okay, and forgiving others, forgiving self, not choosing to react in a way you would have before through bellicose actions or otherwise. Each time you do that is a transformation because you in that moment have chosen to be a better person or not, if you're on the service to self path, whatever. My goal is to be loving, kind, forgiving, compassionate, empathetic. So this is where I'm coming from. But each transformation you kind of do become a slightly better version of yourself. You know, the whole goal is to become this. This is the great way, the spirit, which is the world, this ultimate version of yourself that you want to see and you want to show the world. And by doing that and acting in a service to others manners, you become, you know, this role model for others to do the same because you inspire people by becoming a better version of yourself. So, holding boundaries and so on and so forth, but also be at the same time being loving and kind and understanding the larger picture of things. So, and the wings here, you know, really appeal to me because there is a part in the Law of One where it says the spirit is winged and when it's ready to take flight, it will take flight. So this is, you know, the moment, the great way of the spirit where you really embody that whole transformation that you just went through, then you embody the transformation that you have just seen yourself go through. Okay. All right. So moving on, though, I could talk for hours on that, so that'll have to be another day. This is 6113. Could you tell us the purpose of the frontal lobes of the brain and the conditions necessary for their activation? You know, as we learned from some of David Wilcock's work, etc., you know that in some entities this is lacking in a sense. But the answer, the frontal lobes of the brain will have much more use in force density. The primary mental slash emotive condition of this large area of the so-called brain is joy or love in the creative sense. The energies will, which have been discussed in two of the relationships of the pyramids, all of the learning, the healing, the building, the energizing, will be found in this area. This is the area tapped by the adept. This is the area which working through the trunk and the root of the mind then makes contact with intelligent energy and through this gateway, intelligent infinity. Okay. All right. Going back a little bit to the archetypes, I really want to go over this, and I know it's a lot, so just bear with me, but it explains much in the attributes that some of the archetypes that are hugely important, I feel like, for us to understand these parts of ourselves. So Don says, I have a statement that he will quickly read. In general, the archetypical mind is a representation of the facets of the one infinite creation. The father archetype corresponds to the male or positive aspect of electromagnetic energy and is active, creative, and radiant, as is our local sun. The mother archetype, so we're talking about the emperor and the empress. The mother archetype corresponds to the female or negative aspect of electromagnetic energy. No, I don't feel like they're talking about, I mean, yeah, they're talking about polarization here, but not in a sense, you're talking about batteries. So you have your negative side and your positive side, right? Negative aspect of electromagnetic energy and is receptive or as magnetic as our Earth as it receives the sun's rays. and brings forth life via their density, fertility, the prodigal son or the fool. Okay, so that could be labeled as a prodigal son, right? He leaves and on the spectacular journey thinking he's not a, then he realizes he doesn't know what he got himself into, and then he went on and found himself enlightenment. So the prodigal son or the fool archetype corresponds to every entity who seems to have strayed from unity and seeks to return to the one infinite creator. Right? He goes on this journey, it may seem foolish, but his ultimate goal is to find the creator. The devil archetype represents the illusion of the material world and the appearance of evil, but is more accurately the provider of catalysts for growth of each entity within the third density illusion. Yeah, I mean, like, if it's not for the dark night of the soul, I mean, would any of us truly grow and have our will tested to find our will? That's a great question. I give thanks to every single dark night of the soul, because if it wasn't for those moments or those times, I would not have learned, I would not have grown, I would not have known better, you know. So just have gratitude. Some other terms for the magician, which may make more sense: the magician, saint, healer, or adept corresponds to the higher self. And because of the balance within its energy center, it pierces the illusion to contact intelligent infinity and thereby demonstrates mastery of the catalyst of third density. The reason I'm reading it like this is because Ra really doesn't discount it in his answer or their answer. So, that's why I'm reading it like that. The archetype of death, transformation of the body, symbolizes the transition of an entity from the yellow ray body to the green ray body, either temporarily or between incarnations, or more permanently at harvest. So, I mean, Ra does give kind of a better interpretation of death. It doesn't necessarily mean like you have to pass on. I mean, this is a cycle in the archetypical journey, and it can be just realizing in that moment that you don't know what's going to come next. I mean, some of the transformation of the bodies have come quite rather dramatically from one moment to the next. You just don't know. And that could be one moment to the next that you decide to be a better person. So, you are no longer the person you were from one minute ago till now. So you've gone through a transformation just by listening to these words or reading a book or watching a movie. That is a transformation. As long as you are receptive or discerning that information as well. So each archetype presents an aspect of the one infinite creation to teach the individual mind-body-spirit complex according to the calling or the electromagnetic configuration of the mind of an entity. And I'm gonna put an emphasis on the importance of just thinking of ourselves as electromagnetic beings, because we are. Okay, our nervous system is electric. That is what makes our muscles move. That's what makes our heartbeat. It's from the electrical system of our bodies. That is our nervous system. And we are magnetic. We have iron in our bones, and other magnetic minerals that make up who we are. Teaching is done via the intuition. With proper seeking or mind configuration, the power of will uses the spirit as a shuttle to contact the appropriate archetypical aspect necessary for the teaching. So the power of the will, so that is the wand in the magician's hand. That's what the wand symbolizes, is the will, using the will to do these actions. In this case, they're talking about calling upon a certain archetype. In the same way, each of the other informers of intuition are contacted. They are hierarchical and proceed from the entity's own subconscious mind, then to the group mind or planetary mind, then to the guides, then to the higher self, Then to the archetypical mind, to the cosmic mind, or intelligent infinity. Each is contacted by the spirit, serving as a shuttle according to the harmonized electromagnetic configuration of the seeker's mind and the information sought. So, for to get the whole answer on from Rob, we'll have to go into this. Okay. Here we go. Because they kind of go back and forth on should we answer this or should we not answer this or do you want us to or do you not? So, and then eventually, yeah, they're like, okay, we'll answer. So then they answer. Perhaps the first item we shall address is the concept of the spirit used as a shuttle between the roots and the trunk of mind. So this is, a tree. You are a tree. Okay, the roots are in the ground, right? How does the water, how does the energy from the earth get in there? So, well, the roots are used as a shuttle. Okay, and because the roots have to talk to the trunk, the roots have to feed the trunk, rather. So how did they get up there? This is a misapprehension as we allow the questioner to consider the function of the spirit further. For in working with the mind, we are working within one complex and have not yet attempted to penetrate intelligent infinity. If that is from, so the mind is not yet the spirit. It is well said that the archetypes are portions of the one infinite creator or aspects of its face. However, far better to realize that the archetypes, while constant in, I'm sorry, while constant in the complex of generative energies offered, do not give the same yield of those complexes to any two seekers. So every archetype is different in everyone, for lack of better terms. So a little wordy, but that's my interpretation. Each seeker will experience each archetype and the characteristics within the complex of the archetype, which are most important to it. An example of this would be the observation of the questioner that the fool is described in such and such way. One great aspect of this archetype is the aspect of faith, right? The fool does have faith, the walking into a space with that regard of what is to come next, saying, oh, God's got my back. All right, let's go. This is, of course, foolish, but is part of the characteristics of the spiritual neophyte. That this aspect was not seen may be pondered by the questioner at this time. Okay, yeah. So yeah, that's so they didn't really discount everything that Don asked. So that's why I read it in the way that I did, so to try to give a better idea of what it was he was trying to say about how the archetypes are functioning in regards to this intelligent infinity. So let's go back a little bit. Okay. I'm going to take a drink. Okay, I'm gonna go past some of this. Okay. Actually, I do want to go over this one. Okay, there's a series of two questions. I'm gonna go over the second one. A person by the name of Paul has received information that mentions that there were other beings aiding in the construction of the pyramids who were not fully materialized in the third density. They were materialized from the waist up to their heads, but were not materialized from the waist down. Did these such entities exist in the construction of the pyramids, and who were they? Consider, if you will, the intelligent infinity present in the absorption of livingness and beingness. There's that intelligent infinity being beingness as it becomes codified into intelligent energy, right? Intelligent infinity comes first, and then it's moved into the force behind creation. Due to the thought impressions of those assisting the living stone into a new shape of beingness. Now remember, living stone is like you move it into you move it through time and space basically, and then back to the space that it was in. The release and use of intelligent infinity for a brief period begins to absorb all the consecutive interlocking dimensions, thus offering brief glimpses of those projecting to the material their thought. These aren't necessarily beings, but they're a thought form. Maybe that's how we understand thought forms a little bit better. It's more of a projection of themselves, projection of their thoughts being there. These beings thus beginning to materialize, but not remaining visible. These beings were the thought form or third density visible manifestations of our social memory complex as we offer contact from our intelligent infinity to the intelligent infinity of the stone. It was through their interactions of this stone that they were moving that they were able to briefly, their own thought forms were briefly able to materialize. So maybe that's how some beings are able to appear to be in two places at once. Okay. All right, and this is training in regards to healing. I have no idea how long this would take or if you can even tell us anything. Is it possible for you to give us a synopsis of the program of training for healing? I have no idea of the knowledge of what questions to ask. Raw dance answer. The synopsis is a very appropriate entry that you might understand what is involved. Firstly, the mind must know itself. I'm sorry, the mind must be known to itself. This is perhaps the most demanding part of healing work. If the mind knows itself, then the most important aspect of healing has occurred. For consciousness is the microcosm of the law of one. Know your mind. The second part has to do with the disciplines of the body complexes. And the in-streamings reaching your planet at this time, these understandings and disciplines have to do with the balance between love and wisdom in the use of the body and its natural functions. Know your body. The third area is spiritual. And in this area, the first two disciplines, knowing the mind and knowing the body, are connected through the attainment of contact with intelligent infinity. Okay. And this goes into some of the construction of the pyramid stuff. So if you guys want to look that over, that's session three. Because there is so much more, or all of it's important, but more appropriate things for this time, I feel like we could go over. Okay, so this is 65.6. With the coming changes as we progress into fourth density, I'm speaking of changes not only in the physical third density planet due to the heating effect, but also changes that are heralding fourth density vibrations, such as the ability of people to perform what we term paranormal activities. I'm assuming that both of these are also and will act as catalysts to create greater seeking. Is this right? So it's a great question, you know. And I feel like it's rather coincidental with today's, I think the Vatican was doing something today on paranormal activity. So, and I'm not quite sure what Don meant by paranormal activity. Is this precognition? Is this, you know, bending metal? Is this, you know, I'm not real sure. So, I mean, I guess we can assume, but anyway, but he's asking, you know, is seeing people doing this going to create a catalyst in us? And Ross said this is only partially correct. The paranormal events occurring are not designed to increase seeking, but are manifestation of those whose configuration enables them to contact gateway to intelligent infinity, meaning it's not really a catalyst for you, it's been a catalyst for them. And their own contact with intelligent infinity is allowing these things to happen. These entities capable of paranormal service may determine to be of such service on a conscious level. This, however, is a function of the entity and its free will and not the paranormal activity. So, the correct portion of your statements is the greater opportunity for service due to the many changes it will offer, many challenges, difficulties, and seeming distresses within your illusion to many who will then seek to understand, if we may use this misnomer. The reason for the malfunctioning and the physical rhythms of your planet. Moreover, there exists probability vortices which spiral towards your bellicose actions. Many of these vortices are not of the nuclear war, but of the less annihilatory, but more lengthily, the conventional war. In this situation, if formed in your illusion, may offer many opportunities for seeking and for service. So, there you go. This is talking about, I do want to read this last paragraph out of this one. The principle behind any ritual of the white magical nature is to so configure the stimuli which reach down into the trunk of the mind that this arrangement causes the generation of disciplined and purified emotion or love, which then may be both protection and the key to the gateway of intelligent infinity. Do all things from love. That's your protection, and it's the key to reaching your goal. So, okay. So this is a great question. It's asking, like how many wanderers during that time, and this is 1981, have, penetrated this. I think we've been over it before, but penetrated the idea of who they are. It's a great time to just kind of reiterate that. So, again, this is 1981. We can approximate the percentage of those penetrating intelligently their status. This is between 8.5% and 9.75%. There is a larger percent of group of those who have fairly well defined symptomology indicating to them that they are not of this insanity. This amounts to a bit over 50% of the remainder. Nearly one third of the remainder are aware that something about them is different. So then you see there are many gradations of awakening to the knowledge of being a wanderer. We may add that it is to the middle and the first groups that this information will even make sense. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go over the middle of this. There's a really long one coming up, and I just want to make sure that I get all of that, so I don't want to spend too much time where I don't need to. I really want to focus on this idea of intelligent infinity. The spirit complex is a channel whereby the inpourings from all various universal, planetary, and personal inpourings may be funneled into the roots of consciousness. Your spirit is the shuttle, and whereby consciousness may be funneled to the gateway of intelligent infinity through the balanced intelligent energy of mind and body. That was Don asking them to define the mind, body, and spirit separately. So, okay. This I do want to go over in detail. This is 32.2. Our subject is how the sexual polarity acts as a catalyst in evolution and how to make best use of this catalyst. Going back to the material, I will fill in a few gaps. Okay, can you tell me the difference between orange and yellow? This is the one that I consider not going over, but I do want to. Because we do need to understand how these things are functioning on our planet, how to identify them. So, I am going to work out from red ray right on through to violet. And if we covered the red ray, so what's the difference between the orange and yellow ray activation? The orange ray is that the influence or vibratory pattern wherein the mind body spirit expresses its power on an individual basis. Thus, power over individuals may be seen in orange ray. This ray has been quite intense among your people on an individual basis. You may see in this ray the treating of other selves as non-entities, slaves, cattle, thus giving other selves no status whatsoever. The yellow ray is very focal and has very powerful ray and concerns the entity in relation to, shall we say, group societies or large numbers of mind-body-spirit complexes. The orange, we correct, and I meant to say the yellow ray vibration is at the heart of bellicose actions, in which one group of entity feel the necessary and right of dominating other groups of entities and bending their wills to the wills of the masters. The negative path, as you call it, uses a combination of yellow ray and orange ray in its polarization patterns. These rays, used in dedicated fashion, will bring about a contact with intelligent infinity. The usual nature of sexual interaction, if one is yellow or orange in the primary vibratory patterns, is one of blockage. And then, insatiable hunger due to the blockage. When there are two selves vibrating in this area, the potential for polarization through this interaction is begun. One entity experiencing the pleasure of humiliation and slavery or bondage, the other experiencing the pleasure of mastery and control over the other entity. In this way, a sexual energy transfer of a negative polarity is experienced. So there are people that specifically use this as a way to make contact with intelligent and infinity going through the service to self path. So it is important that we need to note that. This is, I think, the main one. I really wanted to make sure I got to today. Okay, and it is in regards to, I guess, the pyramid, but I really like the way that Ra answered it. No, it's not in regards to the pyramid. I apologize. Could you please expand on the concept of space-time and time-space? And how to get past this, the concept of these things, and what density level do these concepts no longer affect the individual? I feel like we've talked about it before, but that's okay. I feel like each time that it's brought up, that just another layer just kind of peels off, and we're able to see it in a completely different perception, with the added understanding. The space-time and time-space concepts are those concepts describing as mathematically as possible the relationships of your illusion. That which is seen to that which is unseen. Seen versus unseen. Seen versus unseen. So space, you can see there's three-dimensional space around you. You can touch it. You can interact with it. Time-space is unseen, right? It's more of a spiritual nature, a metaphysical nature. Until we had clocks, you couldn't really see time. You can't really see time anyway. Even with clocks. The descriptive terms are clumsy, however. In the experiences of the mystical search for unity, these need never be considered, for they are but part of the illusory system. The seeker seeks the one. This one is to be sought, and have we said? The balanced and self-accepting self are aware both of its apparent distortions and its total perfection. And I think I was, this came up when I was looking to do a whole video on the judgment archetype, because we do a certain amount of judging of ourselves, which is good. I mean, and I think the whole purpose of it, though, is so that we can see everything. We can see the distortions, and we can see the perfection in who we are, and accept them all, and not have this bias against ourselves. When we create this bad biased against ourselves, then we create a biased. It's easier for us to create a bias against other selves. So if we, that's the first step, right? Is accepting the distortions and that perfection is imperfectly perfect. Resting in this balanced awareness, the entity then opens itself to the universe, which it is. The light energy of all things may then be attracted to this intense seeking, and wherever the inner seeking meets the attracted cosmic prana, realization of the one takes place. So, realization of the one takes place in that sense that you realize that, it's all you, it's all me, it's all everyone. The purpose of clearing such energy is to allow that meeting place to occur at the indigo ray vibration, then making contact with intelligent infinity and dissolving all illusions. Service to others is automatic at the released energy generated by this state of consciousness. The space-time and time-space distortions, as you understand them, do not hold sway except in third density. However, fourth density, fifth density, and to some extent sixth, work within some system of polarized space-time and time-space. The calculations necessary to move from one system to another through the dimensions are somewhat difficult. Therefore, we have most difficulty sharing numerical concepts with you, and take this opportunity to repeat a request that you monitor our numbers. Okay. Yeah. They are talking on such a high level that sometimes they can't dumb it down for us, I guess. It's like a doctor trying to talk to a patient that has no idea. All right, so this is where we get into the contact with intelligent infinity and the work to be done. So this one, I felt like it was important because we do need to understand like the whole balancing of accepting ourselves, right? Like if we can't accept ourselves, then we cannot accept another person. So the work begins, with us, and then we can then project because we're all projecting, right? Okay, so this is 5-2, so almost at the very beginning of this entire work. So if we decided to accept, if offered, the honor and the duty of learning the healing process, I would ask for the first step. We should do to become effective healers. All right, so we begin with the mental learning necessary for contact with intelligent infinity. The prerequisite of mental work is the ability to retain silence of self at a steady state when required by the self. The mind must be opened like a door. The key is silence. Okay, so whether they're talking about meditation, possibly, but I think it's a little more than that as far as how to shut your mind off, how to listen to the sounds around you. It's very complicated and hard when you tell somebody, well, just don't think. Well, the moment you tell me not to think, then my mind brings up about 84 things that I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm not doing, or that I have yet to deal with, or whatnot. So the practice maybe to just sit in silence and listen to the sounds around you and not make anything of them. You're hearing birds. Well, don't try to contemplate the birds. Just listen. Just listen to them and experience them. Or listen to the sound of running water. Just experience it. Don't try to rationalize, oh, I'm hearing water. That's water. It's so beautiful. No, just experience it. Don't worry about how you focus on the just experience and the silence. Within that door of silence lies a hierarchical construction you may liken unto the geography, and in some ways, geometry, for the hierarchy is quite regular, bearing some interrelationships. You want to kind of follow the geometry of your mind in a way. So once you find that silence, then you follow the geography of this mind. So to begin to master the concept of mental discipline, it is necessary to examine the self. Okay, so this is involving silencing the mind. Get to that silence, then the door opens. And what happens after the door is opened? Then you start examining the self. Okay, and again, the self follows a pattern of the geography, or the geometry of the thoughts. The polarity of your dimension must be internalized. Okay. Where you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding impatience and vice versa. All right. So you're thinking about in a time where I'm going to flip-flop it about being impatient. And then you must realize you're being impatient. And then, only then, once you realize the impatience, can you then think of a time when you are patient, or you tell yourself to be patient, okay? Or vice versa. I'm being too patient. There is such a thing as being too patient. I kid you not. So you can be too patient, because then you kind of enter the realm of being a doormat in a way. So then you find a time and a memory where you were impatient. Kind of balance that out a little bit. It's all about balance. Each thought that a being has in turn an antithesis, right? There's always an opposite. The disciplines of the mind involve first identifying both these things of which you approve and the things of which you disapprove within yourself. Right? And we got to find those things, and we have to admit that we don't like those things about ourselves. Or we have to admit that we do like those things about ourselves. And then balancing each and every positive and negative charge with its equal. So it doesn't mind if it's the greatest aspect of yourself, maybe it is that you really like. You still have to balance that out with its opposite. Therefore, you must discover this completeness within yourself, that you actually do have that balance. For every thought, there is an opposite thought. The second mental discipline is acceptance of the completeness within your consciousness. It is not for a being of polarity in the physical consciousness to pick and choose among those attributes, thus building the roles that cause blockages and confusions in the already distorted mind complex. Each acceptance smooths a part of the many distortions that the faculty you call judgment and engenders. I have to take a drink. In other words, why are we judging ourselves? Everything is balanced. All good. Okay. The third discipline of the mind is a repetition of the first. Okay. So examining the self, but with the gaze outward towards the fellow entities that it meets. So here is where we do that to others. Each entity, there exists completeness. So this completeness, yes, lies within us, but the completeness also lies within everyone else. Thus, the ability to understand each balance is necessary. When you view patience, you are responsible for mirroring in your mental understanding patience and patience. When you view impatience, it is necessary for your mental configuration of understanding to be the impatience. Patience. Oh, I see. When somebody's being impatient, it's your duty to be the patience. That's your responsibility. Or when somebody's being too patient, is it your responsibility to be the impatience or to balance that out in such a way? I don't know. That's a good question. We use this as a simple example. Most configurations of mind have many facets. An understanding of either self polarities or what you call other self polarities can and must be understood as subtle work. The next step is the acceptance of other self polarities, which mirrors the second step, okay, which is this here. You do have to accept that other people have a different polarity or on a different path or the same path, just a different step or what have you. These are the first four steps in learning mental discipline. The fifth step involves observing the geographical and geometrical relationships of ratios of the mind, the other mind, the mass mind, and then the infinite mind. The second area of learning is the study or understanding of the body complexes. It is necessary for you to know your body well. This is to examine how the feelings, the biases, and what you call the emotions affect various portions of the body. How is your sadness wearing on you? Where do you wear your sadness at, basically? Where do you wear your impatience at? Where do you wear your shame at? Where do you wear your joy at? Where do you wear your forgiveness at? This, it is necessary to both understand the bodily polarities and to accept them, repeating in a chemical physical manifestation the work you have done upon the mind, bethinking the consciousness. The body is a creature of the mind's creation. Okay, and the mind is what kind of handles the emotions, okay? The emotions actually come from the mind. I mean, yeah, because your mind is feeling sad, or let's just pick on sadness for a minute. Your mind is feeling sad. If the body is a creature of the mind, how is your body feeling? Okay, is it feeling sluggish? Is it feeling less energized? Is it feeling like it can't move? You know, well, if your mind is feeling that way, then and the body is a creature of the mind, then yeah, then you're gonna wear your sadness, basically. The body has its biases. The biological bias must be first completely understood and the opposite bias allowed to find full expression and understanding. Again, the process of accepting of the body as a balanced as well as polarized individual may then be accomplished. So I read this, I think the other night, and I was like, you know, now I understand why some people I just couldn't handle to be around. And then there's other people that I could. So because my body had created biases against, you know, certain personality quirks or something like that. So I'm like, okay, that was all me, you know. So then, and then I have to understand that, you know, maybe they do have certain work that they need to be done, and I have to be understanding of that. And I shouldn't create a bias because we all are on different levels of learning and understanding and having the will to actually do that kind of work. So that helped me understand that. It is then the task to extend this understanding to the bodies of the other selves whom you meet. The simplest example of this is the understanding that each biological male is female, each biological female is male, and that's an example. Just like your patience and impatience, okay, for every action you want to balance it out with the opposite, or every distortion you want to balance it out with the opposite. However, in almost every case where you are attempting to understand the body of self or other self, you will again find that the most subtle discernment is necessary in order to fully grasp the polarity complexes involved. Yeah, subtle discernment. At this time, we would suggest closing the description until next time of work. Okay. And the third area to commensurate with its importance. Okay. There we go. I think we'll end off on there today. And then I may go back and try to find this third area. Yeah. But the balancing, so this whole last session that I went through was involving the steps to learn this contact with intelligent infinity. And it all really boils down to discipline of personality, discipline of the mind, and then going through the spirit archetypes and doing, kind of taking in a certain amount of judgment on yourself, and then balancing those, accepting yourself for these distortions, and then kind of, expressing that outwardly onto others and their distortions, and balancing those out within you. It is still your responsibility. If we are all one, then we all have that responsibility, and we can all do that type of work as for service. So, of course, we do have to understand each one of us has free will, and it's free will for someone to choose to work on themselves or to choose to not work on themselves. So, and we cannot absolutely not force that. It's like, trying to help an addict, and that's a horrible example, but nobody changes unless they really want to change. If they're not going to want to change, then they're just not going to. All you can do is extend the hand, and if they don't grasp it, then that's fine. So maybe they will go through their own catalysts and opportunities for that, as the universe puts in their way. So but I hope that gives a better idea of specifically contact with intelligent divinity is really what I wanted to express in today. So we'll come back at this a time later. But I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Won't be as exciting as last weekend was with the Aurora, but definitely still processing, what happened with the Auroras and that. So have fun, be joy, and I will see you next time. Thank you.